Glory, glory, glory. Well, if you came to church tonight, you came to the right place. If you came to this church tonight, you came to the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. God didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. He showed up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can sense it as I got up here. There's just such a peace up here, and I just love that. You know, there's different flows of the Holy Spirit. There's different flows of God, and I'm just excited to get into what He's got tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we're talking about the name of the message is Desiring Spiritual. ... You know, I love those ... If you ever get a text message from me, you probably have had ... from me. Praise the Lord. Desiring spiritual, and this is going to make more sense once we get into it. But you know, it's very important. We have to understand that, you know, there's a natural side to life, of course, and that's what we're most accustomed to. That's what we're used to living in. That's what we see. That's what we deal with day in and day out. But we don't realize sometimes that there's a spiritual side of life, and that spiritual side of life, we still deal with that day in and day out. Just a lot of times we don't realize it. But you know, part of the operation of the Holy Ghost is to get us to a place where we become sensitive to that flow of the Spirit. And so we do recognize it. And so we can see God's presence in our lives, and we can see His ability in our lives, because it's without that ability or without that knowledge, we'll never really truly do what He wants us to do. You see, God has made us to be spiritual people, and yet most people have no idea what it means to be spiritual. They say, well, you know, they talk about spiritualness, or they talk about going to church is spiritual, and to a degree, yes, going to church is spiritual, if you're going to the right church. It could be spiritual anyways, amen, but you want the good spiritual, hallelujah. You know, one thing that we do understand according to the Word is that the devil operates on the earth quite a bit, actually, and he operates even in churches. I mean, sometimes the devil is more faithful to come to church than Christians are. Well, praise the Lord, it's the truth, hallelujah. But we're going to talk about some things. We want to get into the things that God has for us tonight. Amen. And this message is just stirring in me. And we'll get to the scripture here in a minute. But, you know, the first thing I want you to understand is, you know, the Bible, you can break the Bible, and many scholars have broken down the Bible into what they call dispensations or ages. And it's different time periods in which God did certain things a certain way. Amen. There's arguments in different, like how many different dispensations there are. I don't think there's really any argument that there is different dispensations. Obviously, you know, there was, pre-Jesus, there was post-Jesus, so there's at least two, amen. But we know it breaks down into more, and there's different arguments as to how much. But ages is really a time period. A dispensation is a time period where God was doing something, and He did things a certain way. And sometimes where people get off a little bit is when they start trying to interpret the Word without understanding dispensations. They start trying to interpret the Word without the light of where they're at. Amen. And now, so we're told that through Scripture, we're supposed to we're not supposed to give up on the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament still very much applies to us, but we're supposed to filter it through the light of the New Testament. Amen. And the light in the New Testament is really what we need to focus on, because that shed light on all the things that they didn't understand in different dispensations. Hallelujah. This dispensation that we live in now, however, is it's called sometimes called the Church Age, also the Dispensation of Grace. Hallelujah. And this dispensation started from the entrance of the Holy Ghost, which was after Jesus left, and it goes until the rapture. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, why is all this important? Why are we getting into this on Friday? Well, see, I'm trying to lay some groundwork here, because we have to understand that unless we understand the flow of God, we're not going to understand why we're getting into some of the things we're getting into. You know, so many people have said that, you know, and I just read one this morning that my wife sent to me. Some sweet church people came up with their own ideas of how things work, and they said that, you know, that these things have, certain things have, were only meant for a time period, and that they disappeared. But see, the problem with that is you just don't see that in Scripture. I said, you just don't see that in Scripture. And see, when you just come up with things on your own, then you can come up with a lot of stuff on your own. You know what I mean? And you can make God's will anything you want, but that doesn't actually change it. So it's important to understand that the way things work, it's important to understand that we are in the same dispensation, or the same age, as the disciples were after Jesus went home. We are in the same dispensation as the day of Pentecost. We're in that same time period. The same things that happened then should be happening today. But just because they don't doesn't mean that it's not God's will. It's because the church doesn't know it. Amen? Now, this is a scripture. We're going to start here. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Remember, we're talking about desiring spiritual, .. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, if you want to get a good dose of what God left us with, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I don't expect you to completely understand it if you've never read them before, but I highly suggest that you get in there and read it. Now, of course, we know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the great love chapter, praise God, and that's the meat, amen? And it's sandwiched right between two big pieces of spiritual bread. Hallelujah. And those pieces of spiritual bread are 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. You know, it's interesting that there's no other subject like this in the Bible, but God has devoted an entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, to the method, the process of speaking in tongues. An entire chapter devoted to it. Now, of course, it's talked about many other places, amen, but God has devoted an entire chapter for it, to explain it, to explain its operation, amen, and the importance of it, hallelujah. But I want to start, we're going to start in verse, obviously in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And I want to stop there for a second because I want to make something known to you about this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. If you're looking in your Bible, there's a very good chance that that word gifts is italicized. And there's a reason that it's italicized. The reason it's italicized is because that word was not in the original language. The translators put that word gifts in there to try to make this a little bit easier to understand for people. Amen? And so when you see a word in your Bible that's italicized, that's what it means. It means that wasn't in the original language. Okay? Pursue love, and so you could read it this way, pursue love and desire spiritual. Desire things of the Spirit. Desire the things which are spiritual. And this is where we get the spiritual .. Spiritual life, a spiritual walk, a spiritual presence, praise the Lord. Pursue love and desire spiritual, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. But I thought that passed away. Why would he have told the Corinthian church? This is after the day of Pentecost. This is well after the day of Pentecost. Why did he tell the Corinthian church? Pursue love. Notice this. He says, pursue love and desire. Pursue love. In order to desire spiritual gifts is a pursuit of love. Why is it a pursuit of love? Because spiritual gifts are what change people's lives. It's what separates us. They say, why is your church successful? Because we operate in spiritual gifts. It isn't because we have some new flavor of Christianity that tastes good. It's not because we came up with something new and unique that has never been heard before. We're preaching the same thing they preached back then. The reason that we're successful has zero to do with my ability, has zero to do with my good looks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Has zero to do with my wife's good looks. Almost said hotness, but I can say that. Praise the Lord. But it has zero to do with any of that stuff. It has zero to do with the fact that we get along good together. It has everything to do with that we're a spiritual church. Praise the Lord. Now all that stuff is found in there. Amen. When somebody's spiritual, they're going to look better to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. When somebody's spiritual, they're going to get along easier, better. Hallelujah. See, the things of the Spirit always bless people because God created it that way. God created a spiritual walk, a spiritual life. To be a blessing to everyone around. In fact, we're supposed to be examples of spirituality. Hallelujah. That's a big word for me. We're supposed to be purveyors of it. We're supposed to walk around being shining examples of this. Good spirituality, not bad spirituality. Not devil spirit. You know, see, because there is a good spiritual and there's a bad spiritual. You understand that the devil has a lot of bad spiritual stuff. There's a lot of people living in it every single day. Just look around you. Look around you. I see it all the time. Praise God. If you don't believe me, get on YouTube. Watch YouTube. Maybe not. Don't watch it. Watch the news. Praise the Lord. Not too much of it. You're going to see it. But pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Wow, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. I love this because, you know, one of these things that these highly intelligent and educated spiritual church people said in their little thing that they wrote up was that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're speaking a different language to men. But what does the Bible say? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Praise the Lord. Now, see, there are two different forms of tongues. We're not teaching about speaking in tongues tonight. That's not what the purpose of this is. But I did want you to see some things in this. But because we have to establish the truth. We have to understand that if by establishing the truth, we have to establish the wrong, the untruths as well. Amen? But so we see this, that God is talking about things here of the Spirit. And we see that in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But this was a very important thing, and this is all included in pursuing love. Some people said, well, do I have to be saved, or do I have to speak in tongues to be saved? Absolutely not. You can be saved without speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. But to get into all that God has for you, you can't do it without speaking in tongues. Why? Because it's part of what God has created to do it. Amen? But I want to pull all this up in the Amplified because I really love how the Amplified brings it out. Amen? The Amplified is our juicer. It gets all the good stuff out. Praise the Lord. Amen? Squeezes it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4. Are you with me tonight? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the Amplified. Go ahead and look at it up here if you don't have it. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Not just a quest. Don't just make it just not something you're after, but make it a great quest. You're after it like nothing else. You're after love. You're after that love. The love that God, what love did he talk about? Well, that's why you have to go back and read 1 Corinthians 13, specifically verses 4 through 8. You read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4 through 8. God tells you what love looks like. And then here he says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. In other words, if you have a great quest, you don't have many great quests. You may have many quests in life, but you don't have many great quests in love. In life, he said, make this your great quest. He's like, get after it. Get into it. Go after it. Don't give up on it. Make it your aim, your great quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, especially that you may prophesy. Interpret, look at what prophesy is. Interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. That doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it? See, people have made prophecy this kind of goofy thing, and sometimes they look at prophecy from a different dispensation. Prophecy today is not the same as prophecy in the Old Testament. It's just not. It's not just fortune telling. It's not. That's what a lot of people think prophecy is. It can include telling the future, but that's not what it is. Hallelujah. This is what prophecy is. It is interpreting the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. It's inspired speech. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We got right back around there. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Praise the Lord. See, we have to desire these things. It's not enough to just, and this is what this is all about. This is what this service is all about. As I was preparing for this service, I was just seeking the Lord. And this phrase just kept repeating in my heart, was in my spirit, was desire spiritual, Desire spiritual. Desire the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It was quoting that scripture. But that was what was playing. And even when I got into it at first, I didn't even have a message. And I thought, Lord, are you just going to send me to church with one scripture? I thought, man, if that's where, I'll go with one scripture. It may not be a long service, but I'll do it. Praise the Lord. But he gave me other scriptures to go along with it. He wanted to put in us. But see, we have to understand the importance of these things. We have to understand that God doesn't do things just because he wants to. God just doesn't do things that way. We never see that in Scripture. We never, ever, 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 ever see it in Scripture. And actually, you never see it in reality either. Praise the Lord. The Scripture explains the reality to you. But see, God does things by those who hunger and thirst, by those who desire spiritual. To desire, when you desire something, listen, when you desire something, it's not just a fleeting thought. When you desire something, you want it with everything that's in you. You're unwilling to go without it. You keep coming back. When you desire something, you keep coming back. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. When you desire, when you see those people, when they get the new iPhones coming out, there's people that camp outside the store. They're going to stand outside the store for hours. Why? Because they desire to be one of the first ones to get that. Amen? They want to be one of the first to get it. Why does it matter? Does it truly matter if you're first or if you're 100th? It doesn't matter at all, does it? But because of the desire, you're there first. You're there wanting it now. You're not willing to wait for it. It's not good enough to be 100th when you desire something. You want it now. You want it first. Hallelujah. You don't want to wait another month for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you're desiring food, when you're desiring something to eat, what do? You go to the cupboard and get something to eat. You don't put it off and just say, I'm not. Then you're not really desiring it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, when we desire things, we got to desire the things of the Spirit. We got to desire the flow of the Spirit. We got to desire the move of God. We got to desire everything that he wants for us. We have to desire everything he wants for us. You know, my wife, I think it was on Sunday, was talking about presents. Was it Sunday you were talking about presents? On Tuesday, that's right. Yeah, she shared that with me. That she was talking about a ring or something like that, you know. And a gift, can you imagine if you spent all this time preparing a gift, you moved heaven and earth. I'm not just talking about, okay, you found a few bucks somewhere and so you went to the store and you popped your change into the gumball machine and you got one of the eggs out, praise the Lord. You remember the clucking chickens? Remember those things? I love those clucking chickens. I wish I had one today. But you remember, bah, 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 bah. You remember those things, you know, that, and then the egg would pop out. Praise the Lord. It only cost a quarter. Wasn't a quarter? I used to have one at Hills. I just loved Hills. I can still taste those nasty pretzels and those frozen cherry thingies. Slushies, yeah. Yeah, they weren't slush puppies. They were something totally different. Yeah. Hills brand. I don't know what it was, but it was good. And the clucking chicken, praise the Lord. But anyway, why do you go? You didn't go to the clucking chicken. And get somebody, you know, when somebody, it's a 50th anniversary. Guys, on your 50th anniversary, do not go to the clucking chicken and pop in a quarter looking for your, you know, you what do? You plan for it. You do something. When something's important to you, you make plans. God made plans for the Spirit to come to the earth and visit us from all eternity before we even existed, before the earth was ever created. He had a plan that Jesus was going to pave the way for us to get into the things of the Spirit. He planned it from the beginning of time. He thought about it before we even drew our first breath, before we were anything. God was thinking about what he was going to do. He said, it's not just going to be good enough for them to live and be near me or be around me. No, I'm going to send my Spirit to come live on the inside of them. Hallelujah. I'm going to send my Spirit to become part of them, to infuse himself in them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And what do Christians do? They throw it away like the clucking chicken egg. Yeah, they do. They just toss it to the side like it doesn't matter. They forget about it. We have to desire the things of God. Why do you think that God, God wants to move on us, but I'm going to tell you what. Be glad I'm not God. Because if I was God, you'd all be dead. No, I mean everybody. The whole earth. I'm telling you right now, I don't got that patience. I'm including myself in this. I'm not saying, I'm some emperor. No, I'd been the first one I took out. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you'd all followed. Because that's what people do. They get so wrapped up in stuff, in just thoughts. and don't just seek God. That's why prayer becomes hard to people, because people don't understand what prayer really is. It's just fellowshipping with God. You don't even have to, you don't even have to ask him for, he said, I'll take care of all that. Just come to me and fellowship with me. He's not begging, but he just wants people to come to him and fellowship with him. But the devil has got it in our heads that prayer is hard. And I know how it is. I know the feeling. You know, you get filled with the Spirit, and then you think like, oh, it's dry and all this stuff. If you realize you're just talking to the Lord, it's just between you and him. It gets a little less dry. It just becomes something that you'll want to do. And just look to God, amen? But imagine that. So God has created this thing, and he wants us to, that's why the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. Desire the things of the Spirit. You have to desire it. If you want it, and we're going to see what some of it is, amen? John 16:13. And now, I pulled this up in the Amplified as well, and the reason I did this today, there's actually probably quite a few scriptures in here that I think they're in the Amplified, but I really wanted to get the fullness out of what it was being said. And you know, it's not that the Bible isn't good enough. You understand that. But the reason that we go to things like the Amplified is because of this. You take, for example, I'm going to use the word love. The word love in the New Testament, there's like three or four different versions of the word, different words in the Greek language that we translate love. They all mean different things. So it's important to understand. Actually, I got into a study today or this week about some other stuff that I'm going to probably be bringing out pretty soon. But it has to do with God, the name of God, Elohim. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just giving you that much so it's a little taste. So when we get there, you can say, oh yeah, that's what it was. You desire it, yeah. But, you know, it matters that we understand what the words are. Why does it matter? That doesn't mean you have to become a Greek scholar, but why does it matter? Because we have to understand the full meaning, and that's why it's wonderful to have an Amplified version, because it brings out that meat in the words, amen? So anyways, John 16:13 in the Amplified says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, this was Jesus talking, when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole truth, full truth, nothing but the truth, hallelujah. It's going to be truth, there's going to be no truth like this truth. He is going to guide you into all of that, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. Praise God. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. This is what the role of the Holy Ghost is. He wants to bring us into that place of knowledge of what the Father is saying to us, what he has for us. Praise God. He's the one who brought, it was when he came to the earth. You remember, if you get into, and we're going to get into it here a little bit, but when you look at the book of Acts, and you see all the things that the Holy Spirit poured out when he was poured out on humanity, all the things that happened, this is what God desires. Did the Spirit change? Did God change his mind? He said, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I am the Lord, I change not. So why do we think that God changes? Is he going to shift gears midway through the dispensation and say, hey, well, now without being announced, we're just going to do things differently. By the way, I ain't going to tell you how I'm going to do them differently. I'm just going to do them differently. See, this is foolishness, isn't it? If you want people, if you really want people to do something, why would you lead them blindly? Why would you just lead them like, you just throw them something, well, here, figure this out. No, you wouldn't do that. You lead them directly, you show them the way, and then you don't veer from that path until you decide to veer from that path, and then you tell them. Praise the Lord. And you see, the whole thing is that God wasn't doing it for his purposes. It wasn't that God changed his mind in different dispensations, but he wanted to bring people through so they understood, so they could get to the place where they accepted the Lord and accepted everything that he had, and that he could make himself known to them. This is why I do this, and this is why I do that. But the church just doesn't understand why God does anything. In fact, most of the time, the church blames God for things the devil's doing and sits there and justifies it. It happened, so it must be God. See, this is what people do. They get this garbage in their head that God is all sovereign, which he is not on the earth. God is not all sovereign on the earth. This is part of my study. I'm going to share it with you right now just to throw it out there. But the word sovereign doesn't even appear in the Bible. I said it's not even in the Bible. King James, New King James, it's not in there. The word sovereign is not in there. It's used three times in the King James Version, and it's all in the title, which isn't part of the original script. Yeah, the Bible talks about dominion, but it talks about dominion mostly from the standpoint of human dominion. Now, God is sovereign in the heavens, but he created the earth to work a certain way, and he wanted it to work without his hands being all over it. He said, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to form it, and that's it. Can you imagine, you think this is crazy, but take a vehicle. Can you imagine if every time you got in the car, you had to dump gas into it, every time, and you had to put oil into it every single time, and then every single time you wanted to go somewhere, you had to turn a crank the entire time to keep that engine going, to keep that engine fueled. Can you imagine if you had to do that? How ridiculous that would be. Well, what do they do as cars progress and technology progresses? They make them easier, and they just automatically do things. Now they stink and park themselves by themselves. You don't even have to park a car anymore. What's up with that? Wish I would have had that when I was 16 years old. You know what I'm saying? Parallel park a car? Yeah, I can parallel park. You know what I mean? You're not even touching the wheel. You just kind of look around a little bit. See? Just like that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I mean, I drove a real nice car recently. It wasn't mine. It was somebody else's. A really, really, really nice car, like a high-end car. And I was driving it, and this thing I was backing up, and it didn't just have a backup camera. This thing showed me all around the car. I'm talking satellite like type imagery. I'm like, this is weird. I saw everything around the car. I mean, see, with stones, I've come to find out they have cameras all over the car and stuff like that, and it does all this stuff, you know. When I was, it projected the speedometer, the speed. The it was out on the road. I said to my wife, I said, you see that? She's like, no. See, you only see it in the driver's seat. Yeah, but it does that. I found out how bad I drove that day. Yeah, I'm going down the road, and you know, when you get to this car, literally, when you would go over when you touch that white line on the right side of the road, it would start vibrating. And then when you go to if you touch the yellow line in the middle of the road, it would start vibrating. Man, that car didn't stop vibrating. I walked out there. You know, I tried to sign my name on something like it was like this after driving that car for a little bit. Praise the Lord. I thought I was a pretty good driver, but I guess not. Praise the Lord for high-end technology. But, you know, cars, things get easier with more intelligence because you don't, you know, what's that saying, work smarter, not harder. Yeah. Amen? But see, God designed the earth to be the same way. He's like, no, I put man there. I put man. I gave him dominion on the earth. That's what he did. The only thing that Jesus did when he came back is he had to rescue our sorry butts because we had given up the dominion. He gave us dominion. You're a devil. Here, take it. That's exactly what we did. That's exactly what humans do. You think, well, I wasn't in the garden. I did. You would have done the same thing. You might have done it worse. Yeah, you would have. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Desire spiritual things. See, this is what the Holy Spirit's job is he's to download in us what the Father says, what the Father has for us, what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go. But people don't even know how to hear the Holy Ghost. And part of it is because they don't desire it. And part of the reason they don't desire it is because they don't know anything about it. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, desire, eagerly pursue love, and desire spiritual things. Desire spiritual things. Need them. Want them. Make it your aim. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Acts 1. This isn't amplified, so you can turn there. Acts 1:1. We're going to start right there in 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we know that Acts was written by the Apostle Luke. Hallelujah. And because it seemed right, he wrote it. I love that. Acts 1:1. The former account I made, and he's talking about the book of Luke, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, look at this, began both to do and teach. Began. He didn't say it was complete. He said, the former account I made, which was the book of Luke, that told us all that Jesus did while he was here alive. Praise the Lord. Right? Does anyone disagree with that? No? Okay, praise the Lord. So the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. He began to do it. That means the work wasn't finished. He started some. In fact, Jesus said his work wasn't finished. He said it wasn't going to be done when he left the earth. He said there was much more still to do. That's why he said that the works that I do, you will do, but greater works than these will you do. Why? Because there are more things that you're supposed to do. Now, we also know this about Jesus. Jesus had the Spirit without measure, the Bible says. I don't remember the exact reference right now, but that's okay. He had the Spirit without measure. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He came here to live full of the Holy Ghost, to show us how to live full of the Holy Ghost. See, there is a way to live full of the Holy Ghost, and there is a way to live void of the Holy Ghost. Most churches, most Christians are living void of the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean, now listen, I understand what the Bible says, that when you get born again, that the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you. He does, because he's the one who gives you the new life. Spiritually, he recreates your spirit. You are a new creation through the Holy Ghost. But that is not the whole operation of the Holy Ghost. Why? Later on in Acts, we see where those brethren that gotten saved, that they were asked. They said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you were saved?" And they said, "We have not so much as heard as if there was a Holy Ghost." And so he said that he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And what happened? They started to speak with tongues. See, it's important to understand that we're just reading the Bible here. We're just going through the Word. Amen? So we understand that there was things that Jesus... Now, what did Jesus do when he was here? He walked around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? Setting free those who were in bondage. Laying hands on the sick. They would recover. Amen? He was doing all these spiritual things. He was cursing trees and they were withering up at the roots. He was doing all these wonderful things. And he said these are the things that he began to do, both do and teach. And why do you teach somebody something? You only teach people stuff if you want them to know how to do it. Otherwise, you don't take time to teach them. Why would you teach so? See, this is what I just don't get about this stuff. Why would Jesus teach us this stuff if it had no bearing on our life? Why would the Bible hit this stuff if it had no purpose in our life? No, it has every purpose in our life. This is the reason. Listen, it's very, very simple. The Bible says that as a dog returns to its own vomit, or a pig to its wallowing in the mire, so does a fool to its folly. Okay? This principle is played out daily in my eyes. You see people who come out of horrible things and then they return right back to them, even though they've been set free. I've seen people with religion come out of religion and they come out of a bad religion that taught them bad things and then they still revert back to that. They still turn back to that and say, but this is what I know, this is what I'm comfortable with. Well, stay comfortable with that then, but you're not going to have the power of God in your life. You didn't then. What makes you think you're going to do it now? You can't get the power of God in religion. The only power of God comes through the reading of His Word and the teaching of His Word and being set free from the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Glory, hallelujah. See, it does not come by holding to your tradition. Jesus told us that. He said all too well, you hold to your tradition that you may deny the commandments of God. He's saying the things God has told you to do, you would rather have your religion than you would to have that, than to have what I've told you can have. And that's exactly where people are at. They think church is this optional thing where they can pick and choose. First of all, you pick and choose what church they go to. You need to be led to where you're going, and then when you get there, get planted, because the Bible tells us that only those who are planted in the house of the Lord flourish in His courts. You cannot be planted, being uprooted and moved every 2 years or every year or every 6 months or whatever people do. Now listen, if we have some new people in here. If you're getting planted here, then get planted here. But if this ain't the place, get planted somewhere else. Just get planted somewhere that's teaching the Word of God. Because if you don't planted, you can't grow. If you take a plant and you can take an oak tree and take it out of the ground, it doesn't matter if it's 300 years old. well-established roots, but you take it out of the ground, you take it out of its soil, you take it out of its planting, and you lay it down, it doesn't matter how much rain falls, it doesn't matter how much perfect days you have, that tree will not grow, it will die. Because that's it. And that's exactly what happens to Christians. Christians get moved. They come to church twice a month, and then they wonder why they don't have the power of God in their lives. You can't. I can't change it. I can't. I said it before. I can't pray stupid out of people. That's stupid. Yeah, I live that way. I'm telling you, I live that way. I live full of stupid, and I had what living full of stupid gets you. A lot of stupid stuff. Amen. It's not fun. Praise the Lord. At some point, though, I had to wake up to it. And why do I yell about it? I don't get mad. I'm not mad about it. I just yell because you got to get it through to people. You want people to understand. Listen, we are preaching the word, and as long as we preach the word, if the Lord led you here, stay here, let's go on, and let's do it together. But there's more to what we're doing than just playing church. We don't just come here on Sundays and sometimes Fridays and other days and have a service and leave and go out and live our lives. That's not what we do. We go out there and we desire the spiritual things all the time. Hallelujah. We go desire the move of God everywhere we go. We look for opportunities. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what you do for a living. You don't have to work in a church to be spiritual. But I'm going to tell you what right now. I'm going to tell you something. It may shock you. But God's plan only is for people to do something for His kingdom. God's plans do not include things outside of the kingdom. See, people are doing all kinds of things. Now, God doesn't mind you enjoying things. He doesn't mind you having recreation time. But if recreation time is your life, if things that are not saving people, if things that are not building the kingdom is your life, then there's a problem. Yeah. Houston, we have a problem, praise the Lord. You can't get through. You can't be in the plan of God being focused on just stuff in life. You can't do it. I said you can't do it. You cannot do it. That's the way I lived. You can't do it. Why? Because God is watching the countdown. There are many people that will not go to heaven because people did not preach the word, because people weren't faithful. People said, you know what? You know, I would have rather had to, I had heard a minister once say, and I love this. He said, if my house needs carpet or the house of God needs carpet, the house of God's getting the carpet first. That is the attitude that God wants you to have. God will supply your carpet. But see, this is the problem. People don't trust Him in that. That's why people won't tithe, because they don't trust Him on it. It comes down to that. They won't tithe and they won't give because they don't trust God that He'll actually do what He's going to do. So what do you sit there for? You know, you want to ask people, like, why? And I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. You know, I don't keep track of that. But my point is that people, I know that people, how people think, because I've been there. I've done that. And it was only until I got out of that. Praise the Lord. Well, we haven't got very far through that scripture. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. God is not saying, hey, you volunteer, that makes you chosen. God chooses who He chooses, and He puts that person there for a reason. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, being a pastor, I love my pastor more now than I ever have. Why? Because I understand exactly what a pastor goes through now. I do. I understand what a pastor goes through now. And that's all I'm going to go with that. I just tell you, I love my pastor. I appreciate him more than ever now because I see the things that pastors go through. And that's the things that people don't even realize. You have people, my pastor told me once, he said, everybody in your church is one sermon away from leaving you. And that's the truth. I've had people say to me, I wouldn't get offended, and do. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Bible's true. See, everybody is going to face a time. They're going to have face moments of reckoning where they have to decide, am I going to press through what's hard, or am I going to leave and leave it all behind? And see, and it's proven, faithfulness is proven in those times. And it's not just proven once, it's proven time and time again. I had plenty of opportunities to leave my pastor, almost did foolishly. I wouldn't have been here today. And my family, I don't know where they'd be. I'm just telling you. Honest to God, when God sets the members as He chooses, the Bible says. He plants people in the church as He chooses. He gives people jobs as He chooses. I didn't pick to be pastor. I said this 1,000 times. I didn't choose to be pastor. I didn't want the job of being pastor. I didn't. I love it now. I wouldn't do anything else. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't have my hand up saying, oh, pick me. I was fine with cleaning the toilets or whatever I had to do. Yeah, because I didn't want to be at the forefront. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why do I say all that? Because people get focused on the wrong things. People think, you know, it's like, listen, there are people, there are pastors that are out there for financial gain. I'm going to tell you, dear Jesus, I am not doing this for financial gain. I'm not doing this for financial gain. How can I prove that? Well, the fact that I don't make near as much as I did 10 years ago is a pretty big proof to that. And I don't say that to brag. I just say this. We do this because we love people. I preach the word because I love people. I grow a church because I love people, because I love God, because I'm in the plan of God, because I want to do what God wants me to do. That's why I preach this stuff, even when it's hard and you look at me snarky. Praise the Lord. Yeah, when you say something and people don't like you, you step on their toes and they think you hate you and you're just like, I'm just preaching the word. I'm just preaching the word. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Until the day he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is what he was doing in that time period. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. What is that promise? That promise is the Holy Spirit. And why? We go on. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Praise God. Praise God. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the time when the Holy Ghost is entering. This is not the time. This is not how we're all going to receive him. But see, we have to understand that. Amen? Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What they were thinking of is that God was going to restore the kingdom in Israel and that this was going to be the end. They thought it was all done here, right? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Listen, there's something coming, guys. That's what he was saying. There's something coming that you need. You shall receive power. I know that you're thinking all this, but see, this is what you have to look forward to. There's something coming, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, for all those people who like to say that the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, all that stuff has passed away. Praise the Lord. These guys, these ones that were being told that they were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, never made it to the ends of the earth. They never made it to the ends of the earth. They only stayed in that area. Well, you know, Paul went out to Asia and stuff like that. But they certainly didn't make it over here to the Americas. I mean, the Mormons will have you think that, right? But it just ain't true. How do we know it ain't true? Well, there's a whole lot of reason why we know it's not true. And I could go into all that, but I'm not going to right now. If you want to know, ask me afterwards. But at least one of them is there is absolutely zero archaeological evidence to it. Do you know for the Bible, they constantly dig up stuff that proves what has happened in the Bible? Constantly. Constantly. Because God isn't stupid. He knew that someday that people were going to argue back and forth. People were going to get too smart. In fact, he told us that. He said that people were going to be too smart in the world, that they wouldn't be able to accept the foolish things of God. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what the word says. Or not exactly, but you know, it's a roundabout, you know, what it's saying. But it just calls foolishness. It's foolishness to men. Praise the Lord. And so he put proof all over the place. Why? Because God's God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Now, we're going to skip a little bit further down. We're talking about spiritual things, right? We're building a case for spiritual things. There are operations of the Holy Ghost. Now, listen, we are not going to get into all this tonight. But there are operations of the Holy Ghost. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about some of these ministry gifts. Amen? Let's go back down to Acts 2, and verse 38. Praise the Lord. 30. I didn't even realize that this was going to be so much talk about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is. Hallelujah. Then Peter said to them, these are all the people that were being preached. This is after the Holy Ghost had been poured out. So this time, the Holy Ghost, they had waited. The Holy Ghost was poured out. They spoke in tongues. All these things, crazy things were going on. Some people thought they were drunk. Some people thought they were crazy, right? But now they've spoken tongues, and Peter preaches this awesome message, gets 3,000 people saved. Repent, he says. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Right? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean that every single time that you are saved, people get receive the Holy Spirit? No, he was talking to specific people. He said, he's speaking by inspired utterance. He's prophesying over them. He's telling them what's about to happen. He says, repent, you will receive the baptism of Jesus Christ. You'll be baptized out of sin into life, praise the Lord. And because you do that now, basically, you're going to also receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now look at this, verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Has God called anybody here today? Yes. Praise the Lord. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today, but why do I talk about this when I'm talking about desiring spiritual things? Because that is, it's just part. The Holy Ghost is the administrator of the spiritual things. He is the one who gives us the endowments to speak in tongues, the endowments to prophesy, the endowments to have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or to lay hands on people with miraculous healing. He is the one who gives that stuff out. Amen? And so I wanted to build a case of that. Why do I build a case, use these scriptures? Because these scriptures very clearly point to us that the gift of the Holy Spirit or the promise of the Holy Spirit and all that he was going to be contained in what he does wasn't just for a certain time period in history, but it was for all Christians everywhere, as many as the Lord would call. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Joel 2:28. Go ahead and turn there. I'm going to take a sip of water while you're turning. It might take you a second. That's back where your pages are crunchy. Yep. Yep. It's still stuck together there. You got to break them in. Hallelujah. Joel 2:28. Now this is a prophecy of things that were coming, amen? And we were even told in Acts there that this was this being poured out, but this is the original place where it was talked about. Way back in the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament does matter. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Glory to God. He is going to do all kinds of wonderful things. And that's what he's talking about. He's just pouring out some, telling us some of what he's going to pour out on people. This is what we need to be desiring. We need to be desiring the move, the office of the Holy Ghost, the move of the administration of the Holy Ghost. We need to be desiring the move of the Holy Ghost in the church. We have to desire him in our services. When we come to service with the Lord, now does it mean that we sit there and we pick out, Lord, I want to start prophesying now. That's not how you do it. That's not desiring it, because that's wrong. See, the devil can operate through that. Say, Lord, I want to see visions. You start asking for visions, watch out. And you got to be careful of visions. I'm just going to bring this up right now because we're talking about it. But you got to be careful of dreams and visions. Why do I say that? The Bible says to test the spirits. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter how good it seems, it isn't of God. I said if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter how good it seems, it doesn't matter how good it sounds, it doesn't matter how it made you feel. This is where the devil gets people to go off in the wrong direction. Because they'll have a vision, they'll say, oh, I had a vision to do this. I had a vision to leave my church and go over here and just start doing this over here. And then they go over there and it fails. Why? God never led them to do that. Why? Because when the Lord has this thing he calls covenant. Covenant's a very big thing to God, a very big thing. There is covenant between, I preached a message a year and a half ago or so on covenant connections. And it was talking about how there's a covenant between us and God. And there's a covenant between us and our church. There's a covenant between us and our pastor. There's a covenant between us and our spouse. In fact, our spouse is one of the easiest covenants to understand, and God gave us that as an example of what he meant by covenant. Yeah. And what does he say by that? What God has put together, what God has joined, let no man separate. Let no man, you don't decide to just separate from something you're in covenant with. You don't separate from God, you don't separate from your church, you don't separate from your pastor, and you sure as heck don't separate from your spouse. Unless their spouse is not serving God and refuses and all this stuff, and you have to go down that road, and there, you know, all that, you know, there are places where you do that. If I stop preaching the word, then separate yourself from me. If I stop teaching the word, then you don't want to stay here. Run out the door as fast as you can. Praise the Lord. But covenant says that you stay together no matter what. See, Americans, they don't understand covenant anymore. This is a very important thing. This is something that is lost on people. Covenant is something that is just, I'm telling you, I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost right now. Praise the Lord. Covenant is something that people have forgotten about, and that's why we can have 60 or 70 people here on a Sunday morning, but we can have 30 here on a Friday night. Because people don't understand covenant. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because people don't understand that there's purpose for us coming together. Do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. What the heck do you think that means? Don't forsake the assembling together. Don't just cast it off as something that's just you could just pass off. Listen, if it's easy for you to just kick off church so you can just go do whatever else, so you go shopping, listen, there's a problem. There's a problem. We don't even have these people. You know, these people had the power of God operating in their lives. They had amazing miracles. They literally had people without arms who would grow arms back. They had people who were dead. They were dead. They were dead. That means they didn't breathe anymore. They didn't lie. They weren't alive anymore. They didn't draw any breath at all. They were dead. They were out cold. These weren't people who were sleeping. These weren't people who were knocked out. These people were dead. They weren't in comas. They were dead. And they brought them back to life. They had the power of God operating in their lives. And why did they do that? Because they were together all the time. They came together as much as they could. They weren't coming together and creating discord and fighting and having all this stupid stuff. They were coming together with one heart and one purpose, and that's to serve God, to get in His plan and do His will, to plant churches. Hallelujah. Yeah. You think I talk about money. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. He told people they were foolish because they didn't give into this and give into that. And they took up all kinds of offerings. Everywhere they went, they were funded by people who were pouring money into it. People were selling their houses to give them to the church. I'm not saying go sell your house and give it to the church. Now see, people would twist what I say too. But that's not what God was, but people were doing it willingly. Out of a good heart, they were just anything that anyone needed, they took care of it. That's the way the church is supposed to operate. And then people wonder why they don't have the power anymore. They wonder why, because they're not desiring the spiritual things. They don't know what the spiritual things are, so they're not desiring them. And they're not having this move. And then kids are leaving churches in droves. See, my grandfather talked about a time when they experienced the power of God. Yeah, when they talked about these moves of God. And you hear people of times of old talking about these moves, great moves of God, and all these wonderful things that happened where people, my grandfather was telling me he went to seminary one time, and he was there for, I don't know how long he was there for, and he said there was an entire week in seminary where they didn't even hold classes because the power of God was so strong. People were just getting together, and they were rejoicing and praying and just being in the presence of the Lord. Why don't people experience that anymore? Because the church has given up. Because people don't hunger for it. They don't thirst for it. They don't get in after it. They don't desire the things of God. They desire more of the stuff for themselves, and they wonder why their kids, seriously. Well, see, you can have people like that who have experienced things like that, and just a generation or two later, you have people not even caring about the things of God anymore. Why do people leave churches? Why are the kids not going to churches? Is it because we don't have the right programs? They didn't have the right programs back then. The only program they had back then was the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And see, the reason kids leave churches is because they hear their parents talking about all this God stuff, but they don't see nothing. They don't see any of it. They don't see God moving. They don't understand, what do you mean God? You talk about God, and then the kids get sent off to some stupid liberal college, and they go to some, because, you know, it's really important to, I'm not saying it's not right to send kids to college, but you've got to be careful. You've got to be led. You got to be careful. You got to be led. And why do I say that? Because most of these colleges are putting garbage in people. They're teaching. Yeah, they're talking about. They talk about evolution now, like it's a fact. They're talking to it like it's a fact. There's still no proof to it, but they're still talking about it like it's a fact. And they call us foolish for not believing in things that. Oh glory, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Get the videos. We don't even charge to rent them. We just take the video out, sign it out, go home and watch it. Praise the Lord. But see, people are sending them out to these colleges where they out there in the world. See, the world has changed so much. You got to be careful. You got to use your head when you do things like that. I actually know of an example of this. Family that was raised their family somewhat Christian. When I mean somewhat Christian, I mean they went to church maybe most Sundays. Kids always had to go to church with the mother. Father didn't go that much. Would go once in a while. You know what I mean? This is the way it was. This is most churches. You know, they would go to church and they would have their churchy things and do their churchy stuff. And their kids would go to church. They were made to go to church. But you know, it was funny because as they grew older, they got out, they went away to college, they come back, now they don't believe in God anymore. Yeah, they go out. And I'll tell you what, thank you, brother. That's right. I would rather have my child not go to college than to go to college and come back and not believe in God and spend eternity in hell. Because it's just like I said before, and I said it pointedly, it was Sunday ago or so, maybe two, but there will be people that will be going, lining up to go to heaven. There will be people who will be stepping through the gates. You know those tears the Bible talks about God wiping away? It's going to be when parents, things like this, when parents are going on into heaven because they still believe in God, but they didn't teach their kids right, and their kids are going to hell. That's why there's going to be tears in heaven. See, you got to understand, this stuff is serious. Like I know we get bold about it, we talk about it, but see, the thing is, God has got to get things over to us somehow. And unless somebody's willing to be bold and let's say, listen, no, we don't accept anything less than God. We don't accept anything less than God. We don't accept anything less than God. Hallelujah. I want the move of God. I want this church to be flowing in the things of God. I'll tell you what, the Lord has been showing me in my spirit. There's growth in this church. And we could be like every other church. We could grow to a point and then die off. But we're not. I want that growth to be real. I want that growth to be right. I want people to come in here and have their lives changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what? I got a call this week. I got a call this week from somebody who I'm just going to give too many details. Somebody who's just a couple weeks away from dying. And what does this person need? They need the power of God. They need the power of God. They need a church that comes together and is hungering and thirsting for the things of God so that we can go in and look at cancer and say, gone. Yeah. Gone. Because the disciples didn't wait around for it. The apostles, they didn't wait around for it back then. I said they didn't wait around for it. They looked the devil square in the face and they said, get out of here. You have no place here. You're trespassing. Get out of here. And you know what? There was power in the words. The devil ran out the door so fast, he couldn't. Gone. Didn't even let it shut the door. I mean, he's gone. Hallelujah. Why? Because they knew who they were. See, the church, we got to know who we are. We got to know. We got to desire these things. We got to come to church with a hunger, a renewed hunger. I'm not saying you got to be perfect overnight. I'm saying you got to just stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 6. We're going to close with this. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 6. God isn't any less of a healer than he was back then. I said God isn't any less of a healer than he was back then. The same God that healed when Jesus walked the earth is the same God who heals today. The same God who set people free when Jesus walked the earth is the same God who sets people free today. The same God that raised people from the dead is the same God today. Hallelujah. And now, listen, there ain't no condemnation either. I'm just going to go back to that thing about children. There's plenty of people here I know. I've seen it too. There's plenty of people here who have raised kids and maybe didn't know this stuff, didn't, and their kids aren't serving God. Well, you won't be condemned about that, but you pray for them. And you live the strongest Christian, best example of a Christian life you can. That's right. Why? Because that's what's going to call them back. Hallelujah. I said, that's what we'll call them back. When they see the power of God. See, that there again, that's the power of God. Because when what are scientists going to say when you go up to somebody, when people start walking up to people that are laying in a coffin and say, rise in the name of Jesus, and they get up? What are the scientists going to say then about God? Huh? What are they going to say then about God when you look at somebody who doesn't have an arm and you lay hands on them and it grows out? Well, you say that then Jesus did it? He said, the works that I do, you'll do greater ones. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus laid hands on a guy that had no ear, that just got his ear cut off. That ear grew back. I'm going to tell you what. A greater work would be an arm. Why? Because the arm is much bigger. I'll tell you what. You think it's sleight of hand when you do an ear, but when you do an arm, you can't talk about that like it's sleight of hand. Like sleight of arm. And not sleight of hand. Hallelujah. When you got people who are paralyzed getting up and walking, hallelujah. Power of God, the power of God. The same God then is the same God today. Why don't we see these things? Because people aren't desiring them. They're not desiring spiritual gifts. And why? Because they don't have an idea what love. See, love would put every one of these seats, love would make every one of these seats full. The love of God would make every one of these seats full. Why? Because they understand that the power is here. And then when they have the power here, when the church comes together here, they can take it out there and they can change the world. And see, that's what matters. The power of love will make you stand up and say, you know what, this ain't right. I love you, but this ain't right. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care if you like what I'm saying, but this ain't right. The Bible says this is wrong. The Bible said this is wrong living. The Bible said it ain't all right to be a man and think you're a woman. The Bible said that ain't all right. He said he made you a man, you got to be a man. He said he made you a woman, you got to be a woman. You don't like that? Hey, that's okay. You don't have to like that, but it's the truth. And I'm telling you the truth because I love you. That's what love does. I said that's what love does. Hallelujah. Love says you don't throw away babies like they're garbage. Love says that you don't accept things that are evil because everybody else is accepting them. I don't care if it's 2017. Same God in 17 is the same God in 2017. I said he's the same God. Yeah, the same God that made Adam, the same God that spoke to the heavens and spoke to the earth and said, do this and do that. Hallelujah. And there was hallelujah. That's the same God that's today. That same God speaking today, and only now he's saying, I want to speak through you. He said, I want to speak through you, child of God. What's wrong with you? You ain't speaking. You ain't looking at your trials and speaking to him. You ain't looking at your trouble and speaking to him. I'll tell you what, today, this afternoon, I was under all kinds of duress. I was under all kinds of pressure, praise the Lord. Yeah, all kinds of things wanting to take me out, all kinds of things making me never want to do this again. But you know what I did? I rose up, and I didn't feel like raising up, but I rose up anyways. You know why? Because if I didn't raise up, nobody was going to pick me up, and I wasn't going to come here tonight if I didn't. Hallelujah. So I got up, and I said, Lord, this ain't right. Praise the Lord. This ain't right for me to feel this way. This is not God. Hallelujah. I didn't say just these exact words, but so many words. I didn't record what I said, but you understand what I'm saying. I got up and I started speaking to that thing, and I didn't feel better instantly, but you know what? I didn't stop speaking either. Why? Because I wasn't going to lay down and let the devil walk all over me. I'm not going to let him have my church. I'm not going to let him have my family. I'm not going to let him have my life. I'm not going to let him have 10 minutes anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I can't stand that nasty devil. Hallelujah. I can't. I almost swore. I didn't really swear, almost swear, but I wanted to, praise the Lord. Because I want, you know, look at the, if you're going to swear, don't swear, but if you're going to swear at the devil. You know what I'm saying? Don't swear, though. It ain't right to swear. I don't like swearing. Swearing's of the devil. But you know what I'm saying? You get so mad at the devil, you want to look at him, you would be like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? You have all those, hey, I'll be careful, hallelujah. I'm saying, I'm just mumbling up here, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? But see, sometimes we just got to get, see, that's the thing. You guys got to, I don't know why I'm on all this, but it's good. Praise the Lord. But you guys got to get fired up. You got to desire spiritual gifts, and you got to desire to stop getting walked on by the devil. And the spiritual gifts will get you there. Hallelujah. As you desire more of God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get more of God, but you're also going to get more of the devil. I'm telling you right now, you start desiring more of God, you want to flow in the things of the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, that devil's going to come knocking. But see, that's when the rubber meets the road. Hallelujah. That's when you got to stand up and say, ah, too late. I'm too far in. I'm too far in now. Hallelujah. Because if I go back, what happens if I go back? You're going back to the vomit. Who wants to go back to the vomit? Anyone want a vomit salad? Anyone want a vomit soup? Hallelujah. No, anybody don't want that? Well, don't go eating it then. I said, don't go eating it then. Don't go back to that vomit. Praise the Lord. You just fire yourself up. You stir yourself up and say, I'm going on with God. I don't care what it looks like. Sometimes we just need a reset. Sometimes we just need to look at our life and reset. Every day, sometimes, you know what I mean? Just living in life. And sometimes you're just going through life and you just got, you know what? I've been off for a little while now. I've been kind of being dogged a little bit. I'm just tired of being dogged. I said, I'm tired of being dogged. Yeah, I'm just going to reset. Boom. Wow, his mercies are new every morning. There's a reset button. Hallelujah. Get in there, find that scripture. I don't know where it's at right now, but his mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord. Get in there, find that reset. Hallelujah. Reset. I said, you got to reset. You got to choose a reset. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5:6. We'll close with this. Hallelujah. Don't get me talking fast. Might say things I don't want to. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall. They shall. They shall. They shall be filled. It shall come to pass. And when you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, it shall come to pass. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it shall come to pass. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it shall come to pass that you shall be filled. Hallelujah. I said you will be filled. You shall be filled. It's going to happen without a doubt. You're going to be filled. What does filled feel like? Filled feels full. Full of God. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not teaching less of the Holy Spirit. We want to teach more. Why? Because we want people full. See, when people are full of the Holy Ghost, they don't do dumb things. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, that's when you'll stop sinning. Yeah. Amen. That's what gives you the power. What gives you the power to go out there and talk to people you ain't ever talked to before? What gives you the power to stand on a soapbox on the street corner and say that you go to family church and Jesus is the only way? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, don't do that, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, if God leads you, well, didn't he just tell you go to the Baptist church up the road or something like that? No, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. You just got to know when you do stuff, you got to be led. You know what I mean? But, yeah, that's right. See, she knows. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. That's baby for glory. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst when you come in here, I'm telling you what, start leaving full. You're going to start leaving full. I said, well, you start hungering and thirsting. When you come into church, you say, wait a minute, I'm going to church. I'm getting me some God. I am not okay with church as usual. I said, when you come to church, you start stirring yourselves up. If you look at your spouse, yeah, it looked like they've been sucking on lemons. You say, hey, wait a minute, we're going to get more of God. Hallelujah. We're going to get some more of God. Hallelujah. If you got people sucking lemons all around you, praise the Lord. You just stir yourself up. I'm going to get renewed, revived. Praise the Lord. I said, I'm going to get revived. See, we got to stir ourselves up. We got to be hungry for the things of God. I'm just talking now. Praise the Lord. I finished the message, but I'm going to tell you, we just got to be hungry for what God has. We got to be hungry for what God has. We got to say, Lord, it's just not enough. I love this one song, and I know some people don't like it because they use the word desperate. He said, I'm desperate for you. How did that song go? You remember that song? Whatever he says, I'm desperate for you in the song. And I love that because that's exactly how I feel about God. I feel like I just need him so much. I'm just desperate. Like not desperate in the sense that it'll never happen, but desperate like I don't know what else to do. I just got to get there. Hallelujah. That's it. When you start hungering and thirsting for God, nothing else really matters. I mean, family life is great. It's wonderful, right? I love my family. We enjoy each other. But I'm going to tell you what right now, ain't nothing. There ain't nothing. Even family life doesn't come anywhere close to loving the Lord. But then when you start loving the Lord and you loving the Lord together, when you have a family coming together, praise God.